Back at WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We have positively moved to opening day and moving to Maryland Crab Cake Tour as well. I was at Costas all day Wednesday. You'll be hearing that as part of the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation. I gave away some instant scratch-offs. I'll be giving these away at Fadley's all morning on Friday. We're rain-checking the actual Crab Cake Tour, but we will be at Fadley's having crab cakes and beer in the morning. A little spatial issue about setting up and where we want to be. We're going to do the show on Tuesday at Fadley's, but in the meantime, come on down on opening day. We'll be at Fadley's all morning, enjoying ourselves. Thursday, we'll be at Pappas next week in Bel Air. So double duty next week. Fadley's Tuesday, Pappas on Thursday in Bel Air. And then on the 27th, back downtown to Captain Larry's in Federal Hill. I'm really looking forward to that crab cake. Had a chat with Mara down there, for those of you who know her in the community. Luke Jones joins us now. Lots of things happened on Wednesday. Luke had double duty as well, the Liars Luncheon, where there was lying and intimidating going on, and no questions about Lamar Jackson. But in the meantime, you know, you leave that presser and the Orioles wind up banging the opening day while starting Grayson Rodriguez. I mean, it was a very, very active Wednesday afternoon in Baltimore sports.
Yeah, it really was. And I think for the Orioles, while you're disappointed, but hey, you're going up against Jacob deGrom. When he's right, he's beaten just about everybody. So you know on paper that it's not a great matchup. But the reality was with Grayson Rodriguez, and we talked about this before the season started. I mean, this was a guy who I do think, and yes, people have been skeptical with service time manipulation and all those different things that we've talked about that the Orioles have done at times, that other clubs have done at times. We get that. But the reality is Grayson Rodriguez did not have a very good spring. He had an ERA of just over 7. He had issues the second time through the order. His command hadn't been as sharp. And I think for all of the acclaim and justifiable acclaim and hype for him, you have to remember he missed 3 months last year, right when he was on the cusp of being called up in June to make his major league debut. He had the lat injury and he missed 3 months. And I think ever since then, he's just trying to get back to that point. So he goes to the minors. His first start at Triple A wasn't the strongest. You know, he walked four, got through four innings. It was choppy. So just out of sheer need, because Kyle Bradish takes a line drive off his foot on Monday night and Tyler Wells steps up, does a great job in emergency relief. Kyle Gibson steps up, pitches a day early, earlier than he was intended. The Orioles needed a starter on Wednesday. And I don't think it was because they really, really wanted it to be Grayson Rodriguez. It just turned out he was on regular rest and he was next man up in the pecking order. So you really don't know what to expect beyond that. And yes, the Orioles lost the game on Wednesday, but after a really shaky first inning where you're kind of saying, oh, this is kind of the, you know, some of what they had been concerned about in the spring, this is what we're seeing. He looked like a guy who didn't look like it was his major league debut and did not look at all intimidated by facing someone like Jacob deGrom on the other side. He was really impressive. And I think it's one of those days where, yeah, you lost the game, but if you're an Orioles fan, you came out of Wednesday afternoon, I think, feeling better about this club. And 3-3 road trip, come home now, day off because of the postponement, as you mentioned. But I think Grayson Rodriguez, you know, he passed the initial test. And I think it was well worth the wait to see what he did in his major league debut.
Well, I would say this, if he's going to be healthy and every fifth day can come out and he'll get better, right? He just will. I mean, he's of the pedigree. Healthy, healthy, healthy. That's where I am. Healthy, taking the ball every fifth day, sixth day, whatever it is. And I've been doing this 31 years, man. You know, like I've seen every, I always bring up Rocky Coppinger, but I can bring up Jimmy Haynes. I can go back to any of these pitchers that Storm Davis, you know, I mean, guys that were thought to have Palmer-like stuff. I mean, even with Bedard, even with Adam Lowen, right? Like, there's just all of these different pitchers that we expected something out of, and they rose to a point, or they found their place in Jake Arrieta's case after he left, in Gausman's case after he left, in some of their cases, 10 years in the big leagues after they leave, right? You never know. But to see a guy that is this talented come up, how can you judge him on a One off, bring him up, put him in the pressure cooker. First start, he's crying after the game with his father. I mean, that would tell you all that you need to know about the yips that you might have getting called up to start a game on 24 hours notice because dude got hit with a line drive. I mean, a lot has happened since I left you with Fenway Park in Texas in regard to their rotation, why Rodriguez pitch, how they're banging this game, how they're moving the game, how it's going to screw up Springsteen on Friday night. I mean, a whole bunch of things. But part of this has changed the trajectory of the season for them because you and I and Jim Palmer and everybody else was talking about Rodriguez as a, maybe later in a month. If his ERA 7 in Norfolk, no bueno. I had people actually text me and say they're bringing him up. He didn't even have a good start. You know what I mean? Like, so there's all of that. But then there's, to your point, if the Lance kid has confidence in health, he's got the pedigree that if he can't work it out, shame on him. You know what I mean? It's not their fault. It's not coddling or anything like that. But he had a 7 ERA and they were going to hold him back. And that seems reasonable to me. But I did like what I saw. I was over Costas. I was doing the show and I'm watching and I'm thinking to myself, if this kid takes the ball every fifth day, I think by July they'll have it figured out. And that's when they need to have it figured. They don't need to win every game right now, and they haven't. And they've lost games they should have won and won games they might have lost, right? So far.
Yeah, I mean they're a drop fly ball away from having a 4-2 road trip, which I mean the reality is look at this team last year. They played way better at home, and we can talk about the wall in left field, and we'll certainly talk about that as they begin their home schedule. But it was more of a struggle for them on the road, as it is with most teams. I mean, let's be clear: unless you're an elite team, the idea is to make your hay at home and to hold your own on the road, and that's what the Orioles did over their first road trip. But I think the worst thing you could say about Grayson Rodriguez after the first inning, and I wrote this at BaltimorePositive.com, is what he wasn't quite as dominant as Jacob deGrom, which I mean that's 99.9% of pitchers in the league really over the last few years when he especially when he's healthy. So I mean he was impressive. You see the fastball 96, 97. He struck out Corey Seager a couple times. You're talking about a three-time All-Star shortstop. The slider and changeup got better as the game went on, but he looked like he belonged. And I think anytime you're talking about these debuts, and the Orioles have had their share over the years. I mean, DL Hall made his major league debut down at the Trop last August before they transitioned him to a relief role for the rest of the year. But you go back to Kevin Gausman in 2013. Dylan Bundy was in such a unique position because he was out of options and they had to bring him up to the bullpen in 2016. But you go back to Arrieta, Mattis, Tillman, all these different guys. You have that debut and usually it's some good, but it's usually a mixed bag, and sometimes it doesn't go well at all.
I
And in
was
the
at
case of
Curt
Rod,
Schilling's major league debut, and look at how that turned out. Major league debuts have always been a big deal, right? To be there, and if this start, everybody will go out to see him pitch against Oakland, right? He's going to pitch next week. It's going to be a bigger deal that night.
oh, no question about it. I mean, this guy, some of the names you mentioned, I mean, yes, the Orioles have hyped their own guys for a long time. Every team does that. Everyone loves their prospects a little bit more than everyone else. But let's keep in mind, Grayson Rodriguez is someone who's been not just a consensus top 100 prospect in baseball over the last 3 or 4 years. Over the last few years, he's been a consensus top 25. I mean, last year at this time, he was regarded as a top right-handed pitching prospect in baseball by most outlets, Baseball America, go down the list. So the expectations have been there, and they've been there for a while. And what's exciting about this, because he was a high school prospect when it was the final year of the Dan Duquette era when they drafted him in 2018, he's still only 23. So you're not talking about someone who's kind of labored and struggled through the minors. With him, I think the pandemic is the thing that slowed him down the most. And of course, the injury last year. So he's been successful at every level. So that's where I think it was a little bit of a surprise what happened this spring with him having the shaky command, not being quite as sharp as they thought. And I do think that the organization expected and even wanted him to make the opening day rotation. But once he struggled, you look at that. And then, yeah, the service time and all the other different things you can point to, which, oh, by the way, the guy who beat him out was Tyler Wells, who pitched his butt off on Monday night. So let's remember that as well. So, all of those factors at work, And the recent issues aside in the spring, and even going back to his first start at Norfolk, which how much you want to put into that, who knows? But it does come back to what you said. The cream rises to the top, right? If you're talking about a talent who's really worth his salt, and he's got the pedigree, he's got the makeup, the talent, all the different things at work, and assuming the organization hasn't done anything egregious in their development, which, hey, the Orioles in the past, you could say that about some of the pitching, some of the pitchers you talk about, a Jake Arrieta, for example, they didn't handle very well, to say the least. But the chances are, if he's meant to make it, if he's truly good enough, he's going to figure it out. And whether it was on Wednesday afternoon, the way he pitched, or these starts moving forward, Bradish is not eligible to return for at least 2 weeks, so he's going to get at least a couple starts here, and we'll see how it goes. But if he's truly good enough, if he's truly talented enough, if he truly has everything that it takes to be a major league pitcher, which is not an easy thing to do, then yeah, generally you're going to figure it out. So I think in that way, that's why it was so encouraging to see him have a rough first inning, but then look so good after that. I mean, he truly got better as the game went on. Missed a lot of bats. Like we said, had five strikeouts. I retired what, 13 of the last 15 he faced, or something like that. So that was really nice to see. And again, you're talking about someone who, by all accounts, not just the Orioles talking this up, but everyone, Baseball America Fangraphs, go down the list, The Athletic, anyone that evaluates minor league talent, they've said for the last couple of years that this kid's the real deal. So it was nice to see him certainly show that on Wednesday afternoon. And
I get
to your
kicked out of the
point,
game in the second or third inning as it might have gone, right?
oh yeah, no, I was wondering if he was going to get out of the first. When you're talking about hitting that 30 pitch mark in one inning, especially with a young pitcher, and keep in mind, this is a young pitcher who the Orioles have handled very carefully. I mean, you had the canceled 2020 minor league season. You had the injury last year. So I'm guessing he was probably at the point where one more hitter, two more hitters, if he doesn't get out of it in the first, he's done after
Well,
that,
think
just
of how
because
many
you're
times
not
we
going to
have
let him.
said his name without him ever throwing a pitch for the team. Think it's amazing how many times we said his name. Dylan Bundy was another one of those guys. We kept saying his name because he had a fun name too. But Manny Machado, it felt like he got here quick. A lot of these guys we talk about them, they get here. Markakis, some of these other guys that were first round draft picks. But talking about a pitcher for to your point for 5 years and see him get. Mike Tyson, everybody's got a plan until they get punched, right? And he's in that big stadium and it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon and it's got, wow. I mean, to see him battle out of the corner was something you want to see, right? Literally. I mean, it wouldn't have been as good as, 8 scoreless innings, but I mean, you still want to see it.
No doubt. And again, even though pitchers will downplay those one-on-one matchups, and they'll say, well, I'm not really competing against Jacob deGrom, he's not stepping into the batter's box, he's on the other side. And Palmer even talked about it during the telecast. When you're going up against, I don't know, Catfish Hunter or whoever, Palmer's contemporaries, talking about the best of the best that he faced, you are going to have a little extra juice, and that you're going to have a smaller margin for error. So for him to handle the first inning, and for him to pitch the rest of the way that he did, 83 pitches in 5 innings, so 53 pitches over the next 4 innings. I mean, that's good, especially when you're talking about mixing in some strikeouts there. So again, you don't want to make too much out of it because it is one start, but there is a lot to like from that start, and it's cool to see. And how could you not love the scenes of seeing his dad Gilbert just living and dying with every pitch, and then of course the embrace that Masson showed on the post-game show. I mean, that tugs on the heartstrings there for anyone who's loved baseball at any level. You can appreciate that kind of a scene, and just makes it that much more fun. And that's another element to this, that as strange as the circumstances were, that Grayson Rodriguez made his major league debut in Arlington, about 3 hours from where he lives in Texas. So it's pretty cool. So some of the circumstances weren't ideal, but there's one where I think the baseball gods were smiling on Grayson Rodriguez to have it line up the way that it did, even after what had been a rough spring for him.
The baseball gods had me in touch with Dave Johnson this week, my old pal from the East Side, and he had that experience, with his boy pitching. So, Steve, that is special. Obviously, Ryan Ripken's a star now, with that. So there's some baseball legacy. Luke Jones is here. We will get to some football. We'll get to some Lamar. We'll get to some press conference and Liars Luncheon and whatnot. The movement of opening day. I just want to say this from a civic perspective. How many bus trips, plans, babysitters, tickets, day off from work, somebody covered my job, whatever it is. In my case, it was a sore throat, scratchy throat at school at Holabird in middle school on opening day. But, this is unfortunate. And it's going to be a great day for the city on Friday. I'm at Fadley's. I'm going to begin the day with crab cakes. I'm going to drink beer. I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to go to the game. I'm going to go see Springsteen. It's going to be a day to remember. It's going to be a Cordell Stewart, Steelers, Orioles, Mariners kind of twofer for me in the annals of Baltimore rock and roll and baseball history. Kiss, by the way, played the off day 1 year. I went to the show with Jeff Montgomery and Mark Gubiza and a bunch of the Kansas City Royals. Went, we all got Kiss face painted. But for the same day and literally for the thing to let out, this has. It has some special sauce, I think, for Baltimore in general, the Yankees fans, wherever it is, win or lose, however it goes, the weather, avoiding thunderstorms on Thursday. And that being said, time will tell as to how lousy the weather really is between 1 and 7 o'clock on Thursday. But they banged this thing and got proactive with it. The old man would have said, let them park the cars and pay for the concessions. So it does feel like it's a little bit of, well, they didn't screw up your opening day. They screwed up your plans.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And look, there's never going to be a perfect solution when something like that happens. I mean, there are people who plan to go on Thursday who won't be able to go on Friday. In fact, I talked to a couple people in just in my circle that there's disappointment there. But to your point, the last thing you want is an opening day where you're sitting in multiple rain delays or game doesn't get played till 8 o'clock at night, and people, you've got a half empty stadium and all those different things at work. So I do, again, there's nothing perfect, but I do like the idea of, look, you've had this for years and years and years. You have this built-in off day after opening day, right? That's what it's for. So if you've got a lousy forecast, then be proactive to your point and make the call. Again, it's not going to accommodate everyone, but I did see in the press release, people who can't go on opening day, they can get a dollar for dollar refund. So, so you at least have that. But yeah, I think it's been strange because for so many years, at least in my lifetime, opening day was always a Monday if the season was opening up at home. And for years it did, years before the Nationals, Baltimore always had opening day at home, it felt like. So you had that. So you've had these Thursdays where it's a little strange. So having it on a Friday and people knowing that people don't have many people don't have to work the next day. You mentioned the concert. I mean, it's excitement. And oh yeah, this ball club has some expectations for the first time in a really long time. This will be Adley Rutschman's first home opener. This will be Gunnar Henderson's first home opener. Grayson Rodriguez is going to get to run down the carpet and
All
get a
these
big
names you've been
ovation.
talking about for years haven't played an
Yeah.
opening day yet. It's crazy.
Yeah, right. And that's not to mention the Cedric Mullins and Ryan Mountcastle and Austin Hayes, who it's not like those guys are grizzled veterans. I mean, they've been around a few years. So there is excitement in that way. So I think ultimately they made the right call. And to your point, who knows? Maybe it'll be 80 degrees and sunny from 3 to 6 o'clock on Thursday, and then you just kind of say, oh well. But I think based on the information they had at the time, they gave people enough time to try to alter their plans as best they can. And I think it'll be a fun afternoon. The Yankees being in town, it certainly adds a little bit of juice. I'm sure there'll be a few Yankees fans there because they're everywhere. But I think there's a lot of excitement. And again, on the heels of a perfectly acceptable, fine 3-3 road trip should have been 4-2. We know that, but I think there's plenty of juice coming home. And we've talked about it, especially considering the state of the Ravens, and we'll get to that, of course, with the pre-draft luncheon and Lamar Jackson and not talking about Lamar. This is an opportunity for the Orioles to really carve out some enthusiasm for themselves, to carve out and generate some buzz for themselves that, let's face it, has not been there. And a little bit towards the end of last year, but really hasn't been there this time of year for a long time. You're talking 5 or 6 years at this point, at a minimum. So looking forward to it, and should be a really cool day for Baltimore on Friday, no question.
New sponsor alert here at WNST Baltimore Positive, Pest Czar. So I was going to use your, like, Yankees fans are everywhere. I used to say they're like cockroaches. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? Everybody's got them. So termite, wildlife, and pest control. I met Erica at a Hunt Valley Business Networking event. Her and her company, Pest Czar. That's Szar. Like a king, czar, Pest Czar. Go to PestZar.com. They took care of us. Spiders and just crazy spring critters. I had little flying things today. There's mosquito, all of that they do, including a mouse. I saw a real mouse about 3 months ago, only one, but you know, we scared him. He was afraid of me, probably the cat. But Pest Czar, good folks, this time of year, 80 degrees, stuff spawning, PestZar.com, or you can reach to me and I'll make sure you get in touch with Eric and Tim and the crew there. All right, anything else on the baseball side other than line drives off feet, kicking the ball around, losing games by a little, winning games by a little, just, you know, well pitched game on Tuesday. It's been a box of chocolates. First week. I mean, there's been no two games alike, and it's baseball. There is no vibe to it in that way. Every game's its own little chess match.
It really is. And early in the season, and look, that it doesn't make for good radio all the time to say this, but early in the season, you kind of just need to let it breathe a little bit. I mean, let's face it, the defense and the pitching was ugly as sin at Fenway Park. Even in the game that they won on opening day, the defense was horrid. But pitching and defense was much better in Arlington, especially the pitching. I mean, what Tyler Wells did on Monday night was spectacular. Given the circumstances, Kyle Gibson, that's why the Orioles signed him when they did, to kind of be that, you know, maybe a modest upgrade over what Jordan Lyles did for them last year. And, you know, we already mentioned Grayson Rodriguez. So for the most part, they're swinging the bat well, you know, not as much on Wednesday, of course. But again, Jacob deGrom does that to most teams when he goes out there. So again, I think it's mostly positive, you know, 3-3. There's nothing to do cartwheels over, but also nothing to be overly concerned about. I come home now, and you want to start well at home. And hey, got a good opportunity here to, you know, win a series against the Yankees, and then you've got Oakland after that, who is the one team that has the lower payroll than the Orioles. So there you go. So kind of shows you where they are at this point in time. Although the Orioles certainly have higher expectations, so it's fun. You know, it's a acceptable opening road trip. I think that's the best way to put it. But certainly that added excitement to see Grayson Rodriguez on Wednesday to close it out.
All right, some stuff will go right, some stuff will go wrong. Bruce is going to play Born to Run. The Eagles are going to play Hotel California. I'm going to be lighter in the wallet, but heavier in the heart. And we will see you at Fadley's on Friday morning if you're coming downtown for the Orioles game. I'll be there in the morning till about noon. Then I'm going to go walk about as I usually do, maybe leave a little bit before then. But if you're in the Fadley's neighborhood, I will be giving away instant lottery scratch-offs. We had a crab cake tour planned there. Decided to not do like a real show. We're just going to kind of hang out. So come on down, say hello before the game, get downtown early. Best crab cake downtown by a lot. Stop by the old Lexington Market. Maybe the last time a lot of folks can stop by there and make it a point to stop by before every Orioles game that you're going down to see our friends at Fadley's. Best seafood going. Get the mac and cheese. I might even get some fried oysters to start the season the right way. And we're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Goodwill, Wind Donation, and our friends at Raskin Global. That's on Tuesday at Fadley's. Thursday, we're at Pappas in Bel Air from 2 until 5 in the afternoon in the main bar. And then on the 27th, downtown at Captain Larry's. Be telling you more about that and our 25th anniversary. Hey, it's opening day. The boss is in town. Don Henley's coming to town. Joe Walsh is coming to town. I'm Nestor. It's Baltimore Positive, and we really mean it.